Psalm 103, verses 1 through 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. So far the reading. You may be seated. In the name of our Lord, who heals and forgives. The theme for this week is shaped by St. Luke's account of the healing of the 10 lepers that we heard about on Monday. All of them, all 10 of them, were healed of their loathsome disease by Jesus. One of them returned to give thanks. Why was that man, a foreigner from among the despised Samaritan people, so powerfully motivated to make that effort? Why did he go out of his way to return and express gratitude while the other 9 went directly to show themselves to those who could pronounce them healed and clean and fit to rejoin society once again? Well, the actions of the one man developed out of a realization that his well-being depended completely on the benefit that he had just received from Jesus of Nazareth. His words and his actions flowed from his deep sense of gratitude. With a loud voice, he glorified God. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet and thanked him. All the lepers benefited from the healing power of Christ. One of them acknowledged and received the benefit with thanksgiving. The woman we heard about yesterday, the woman in the home of Simon the Pharisee, expressed her gratitude to Jesus in some remarkable ways. What she did has to be categorized as an heroic expression of thankfulness. She washed Jesus' feet with her tears. She dried them with her hair. She anointed them with expensive and fragrant oil. Why did she do this? What could possibly motivate a person to go to such lengths to express thankfulness? The depth of her gratitude was in direct proportion to her sense of the benefit that she had received from Jesus. She had received the forgiveness of sins and all that goes with that: hope, joy, and anticipation of a blessed eternal future. She received that forgiveness directly from the Savior who acquired it for her. She loved much, Jesus explained, because she had been forgiven much. She acknowledged this fact and received forgiveness with profound gratitude. Here we have two examples of people who possessed a sense of gratitude. Gratitude, in case you haven't noticed yet in your journey on this earth, is a difficult virtue to acquire and develop. That self-centered, self-seeking heart that resides in all of us, because that which is born of flesh is flesh, resists having to express thanks to anyone. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, it was not only in the physical soil of the Garden of Eden that thorns and thistles began to grow. From within, out of the heart of fallen man, an abundant crop of noxious weeds sprang up: contentions, jealousies, selfish ambitions, pride, envy, strife. And where these weeds flourish, gratitude is choked out. Before their rebellious act, Adam and Eve lived in a state of perpetual gratitude to God for the gift of life and all manner of benefits that went with that gift in a perfect world. But after their rebellious assertion of ambition to be like God, they entered a world of suspicion, mistrust, and accusation against one another and even against God. Psalm 103 is a beautiful exhortation to the faithful of all generations to acquire a sense of thankfulness to God. If I were allowed to have and to know only 10 psalms out of the 150 in the book of Psalms, Psalm 103 would have to make my top 10 list. We can get a sense of the esteem in which a particular psalm has been held in the Christian tradition by the number of hymns that it has inspired, so to speak, or that it has motivated people to write. There are at least three hymns in our hymn book that are based directly on Psalm 103, and many more that either quote phrases from it or make allusions to it. Psalm 103 provides us with an inventory of reasons to give thanks to God. King David, reflecting on the benefits which he had received throughout his long and sometimes turbulent but always eventful career, engages in a sort of monologue here with his own soul, with his own being, and he exhorts himself over and over to cultivate gratitude to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget all his benefits, David reminds himself. And then he proceeds to list what those benefits are. And where does he begin? Benefit number one: God forgives all your iniquities. That's the foundation of all the giving of favors by God. Without this benefit, the others really don't have enduring value. Throughout his catalog of the benefits which God bestows and for which he exhorts himself to be thankful, David revisits this issue of the forgiveness of sins again and again. David's gratitude was rooted in the basics of biblical theology, his understanding of the problem of the fallen human condition, and his understanding of the grace of God which addresses that problem. God knows our nature, he demonstrates clearly. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. Frail, pathetic, mortal, helpless. This is our nature, because the wages of sin is death, and death has passed upon all because all have sinned. But this also is true, according to David's psalm. God has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. And why is this the case? Because, David explains, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. And what has this mercy caused him to do? As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgression from us. How did he do that? By laying those transgressions on his chosen servant for our redemption, his son in human flesh, who is the very expression of the compassion of God for our redemption. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, the psalm proclaims. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Like the sinful woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee, David overflowed with this celebration of gratitude to God, what we call Psalm 103, because he had been forgiven much. There is a direct correlation between these two things, repentance and gratitude to God. Where repentance is superficial and perfunctory, there will be little gratitude to God. But where repentance is real and sincere, there can only be a heart filled with gratitude to God. God gives repentance. God places gratitude in our hearts. And he gives us these wonderful words by which we can express it. Let us all pray. Please rise. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new to us every morning. And though we have in no way deserved your goodness, yet you abundantly provide for all our wants of body and soul. Give us, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness toward us, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.